So we started in January in the book of Luke, and we're going through the book of Luke all year. That's why John said several months from now we'll be in Luke 22. Hopefully you're reading through lots of the Bible, not just the book of Luke and not just the little sections. But if you are, you're ready for a pretty amazing and yet controversial Jesus in today's passage. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is consistent, and he's kind, he's gracious, and he's right, and we're going to look at that today. And it's controversial because we wouldn't do things the way he does. We don't necessarily understand where he's coming from sometimes, and we don't think he understands where we're coming from, and yet he is one of us. We'll never be him, but we get to be like him. Christ's likeness is like looking like him, not physically, but like who he was in relying on Yahweh, his daddy. And so I hope today is a great day for you. I've been praying for us. I'm looking forward to our time together. And let me let the cat out of the bag. Some of you know that I love shoes. I was able to get these babies for like $7.50. So you could appreciate a good deal, can't you? I love that. Thank you, Kurt. And honestly, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? I've got hush puppies on. And some of you are like, so what? Snow and all that. But I need you to know that I got these just because I liked them. I don't know how cool they are to everybody, but I liked them. And I have to wear thin socks so they fit proper. And here's what happened. I was in there, and all of the proceeds from this thrift store, it was in New Jersey, go to helping people who have full-blown HIV/AIDS. And I did not know that when I bought them. I just bought them because I thought they were cool. And then these pants were in the mix, and this green shirt, and Kathy's like, you didn't need any of that. I'm like, it was only $15.50. She said, you still didn't need any of that. Then I told her the thing about the AIDS house, and she's like, okay, that's a little better. But it honestly wasn't about need, and I wasn't trying to be gracious. I just thought, wow, those are cool, and I'd like those. You know, God is really, really consistent with coming at me on what I like. And he's been changing a lot of those things in my life. Some of them, it's just been since I was little. My mom said that I loved shoes when I was little. She said I loved people. I asked her when I was 5, why does grandpa treat people who aren't pale like us? Why does he treat them differently? And she said, well, some people just think that people are a different color, and so they're way different, and they don't treat them the same. And I said, but God made all these different color flowers, and they're all flowers, and they're all beautiful like roses. I was 5, you guys. And I said, they're just wonderful. And can't people be like that? And she started crying and said, yeah. And I know that was the Holy Spirit. That, who does that when they're 5? That's God. And I haven't changed in that. I probably have more of a problem with white people than other people. And I've been white my whole life. I can admit it now. Thank you. You're welcome. Amen. Holy Spirit is a good counselor. At the one-step program, I just repented and turned around. But you guys, Jesus is controversial in that he is kind and compassionate in ways that we just don't think other people deserve, and sometimes that we don't deserve. And I want to get after looking at him and looking at this controversial nature of him and how we can respond to him. So if you have Bibles, love for you to open up to Luke 4. If you don't have Bibles, there's some underneath your seats or the seat around you. We are going to have it up on the screen. And I want to let you know that when we say Jesus is for everybody, it doesn't mean that everybody loves him. When we say Jesus is controversial, it doesn't mean that everybody thinks he's controversial. Some of you are super convinced. I mean, you're sitting in a building that's 120 whatever years old, at least that part is. This is way newer. It's like 80 years old. And you took time out of your Sunday. Now, some of you are like, look, bro, don't go till 10:15 again. I can't promise you that. But what I can say is that you've set aside time, and so thank you, and I know you're here. And I don't really honestly care if you think my outfit looks good and my shoes look good or the music was great or my teaching is good. I care that you know Jesus, and I want to make much of him. And that's what you're going to get, but you're also going to get a normal person talking about normal things and maybe an abnormal person talking about abnormal things. But in all of it, you get a chance to respond. And I think that's actually a bit controversial. Because if God's God and he just says things and they happen, then wouldn't he just say, follow me, follow me, follow me, all of you, follow me. Like whatever you see on TV with Benny Hinn, and oh, the whole crowd. No, you actually get to choose. And that's controversial. That's weird. I think it's irresistible when you really hear God. And so hopefully you'll hear him. I was trying to give you time to look up the book of Luke. So here we go. Luke 4, 42 through 44. It's a little recap of last week. Please go back. If you weren't able to be here, it was Joshua McClintock, one of our elders, and Zach Day, one of our pastors. And they were having a great conversation about this controversial Jesus who came to his hometown. And they at first really dug what he was saying, and then it was hard for them to take. And then they ultimately, a lot of them, wanted to kill him because he wasn't who they thought he should be. He wasn't who they were expecting. And it was a little bit offensive. So this was near the end of all of that. Luke 4, 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. So that means nobody was around. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He said, I came. What did he say he came to do? Gosh, how many of you would rather see actions lived out than hear words preached? Anybody? Words are cheap. Well, he said, I came to preach the good news. I came to proclaim the gospel. I came to say there is good news for everybody. And this was a bit controversial. They came to him because they wanted him. If you were here last week, you realize that some of the people earlier in this time of Jesus' public ministry didn't want him around. They actually wanted him dead. And now he comes to a crowd that actually goes and finds him in a desolate place, and he goes, look, I got to get going. I came to preach the good news to all these towns. I came to tell the truth and to set people free everywhere. That's controversial. So I got these words for you. I've already said them. Now they're going to be on the screen. Jesus is controversially gracious, consistent, kind, and right. He's right. He's righteous. He's the definition of right. And so we'll continue. Luke 5, 1 through 4. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, remember he came to preach, and so the crowd's there and they want to hear him. They're pressing in on him. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. They're doing this to keep their livelihood going, right? You clean your nets. You don't want them to break down, die, really. And once those died, then they would have to get new ones. So they're out. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. He asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Listen to this. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. All right, does anybody remember what Jesus did for a living before he was a rabbi? Carpenter. So let me catch this. Is carpenter a fisherman? So we're clear on that, right? This carpenter turned preacher, gospel preacher, miracle worker, demon hunter says, let's go fishing. We're all on the same page, right? I think more than even that, I want to remind you that Jesus comes to us. We talked about him being Emmanuel. We've talked about him being this revelation, this power, this king, this authority. He comes to us. He came as a person, and he comes consistently to us. I wanted to be able to share with you and dig really deeply, but I want to let you know that as he comes to us, he comes so graciously. We don't deserve it. We don't want it sometimes. We don't want him sometimes. We don't want his presence sometimes, but he'll come graciously to us. He'll do so consistently. How many of you can say, God has come after me. He's lovingly come after me. He's unmistakably come after me. He consistently comes after me. It's not just been one time. Yeah, me too. He also does so kindly. He doesn't give me what I deserve, so that's gracious, but he's gentle, and he meets me where I'm at. And that can be a little unsettling sometimes. They would meet me where I'm at. He'd meet me when I was in school. He met me when I was fooling around and trying to be something funny that I wasn't when I was a little boy. And then when I was just doing what was right, I felt his presence, and many, many other times. At work, even at times when I was filled up on stuff that wasn't from him. He would come after me, and he was kind about it, consistent and gracious. But he was right. He was righteously coming after me, and he did so. One night, when I was with a bunch of people, and we were camping, and I was intoxicated, I wasn't filled up on the Spirit, I was filled up on alcohol. I felt God's presence in a way that I had never felt before. And I started talking to these people all around me about Jesus. And that was not who I talked about normally. I normally talked about me, or maybe even talk about my girlfriend or my daughter, or I'd talk about the Mariners. I would talk about hip hop. I would talk about a bunch of things, but I didn't talk about Jesus. I said his name, but it wasn't an honor. I just said it. And they all were like, what are you doing? I'm like, Jesus is here. I can feel him. You're drunk. I'm like, well, yeah, but I know he's here. And he came after me, and I still, to this day, can't explain it. I don't know any story from there other than my own that was the beginning of the end of me being King Aaron. Don't get it twisted, though. I tried that crown on many times after that. It still don't fit. But in that moment, he came after me, and it really, this week, reminded me of how he came after Simon multiple times. If you will, I'm going to just quickly go to John 1. This is the first time Jesus met Simon Peter. It's another way to say, and he ultimately his name was changed to Peter. But it's in John 1, and yeah, I think we went 40 through 42. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah, anointed. Remember last week, he talked about the fact that he was the anointed when he came to set captives free. Jesus said he was the Messiah. So we found the anointed one. We found the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you're Simon, son of John. You should be called Kepha or Cephas, which means Peter. Okay, first time. Sees him, knows him, gives him a new name. That's pretty cool. Let's go for the second time that he sees him. In the book of Mark, we're going to go 1:16 through 20. As you're looking that up, I want to remind you, Luke was a physician, and he was very orderly in his account of Jesus. And he gives this account of Peter and all of what happened. He doesn't talk about everything that happened in everybody's lives. He doesn't talk about everything that happened in Jesus' life. But he tells the story, and it's different from this one. Jesus called Peter at least two times. Met him, gave him a new name initially. That's one. This time he calls him, that we're about to read in Mark. And then what we just read in Luke is an actual third occurrence. Some teachers say there was even more than that. I don't understand that from the text, but what I do understand is that these are different occasions. Friends, if you're wondering if Jesus has forgotten about you, I would ask, have you forgotten about him? Because he's come to you multiple times. I know he does. Not just because it's my story, but it's his story. That's how he does it. He's consistent. And it's controversial because I'll try. I'm not going to chase you, I'll tell people. And I do sometimes. But the reality is, I get tired of it when people ignore me. How about you? Jesus keeps coming. And it's just weird. It's controversial and it's beautiful. So, Mark 1. 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, where is this Gennesaret, same sea, same lake. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. I love that. That's like when Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days, he was hungry. They're casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. I love it. That's good for me. I need these things. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men, mankind. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They left everything and followed him. They met him, and then he called them, then they followed him, then they went back to their fishing again. After they had left their nets and followed him the first time. We could make a big case for, is that backsliding? Is that where you first come to Jesus and it's all wonderful, and then whether it was like a Billy Graham crusade or it was church or you prayed with your grandma or you were in jail or you were in the hospital and you were like, God, I need you. And he's like, I know and I love you and I've been here the whole time. And you come to him and you follow him and then you don't. Get a little distracted. Things look pretty cool over here. Yeah, I know you're over there, Jesus. I hear you. I'll see you on Sunday. Huh. And then Jesus who? Again, I know we live in a world where people do that all the time, but I'm wondering if maybe we could be honest and say we can get distracted and Jesus comes to us consistently because darn it, we need him to. And he's kind to do so. Well, here we find in Luke 5 that Jesus says to these guys, again, he's coming to them. He comes to them. They're back fishing. We're going to follow you. Well, for how long do I have to follow you? I got a meeting. I got things I got to do. But he comes to them again. And he says, man, the crowd's bumping. Can you just bring me out a little bit, Pete? And we'll just use the amphitheater of the lake. And then he says, hey, you know what? While we're here, why don't we go fishing? Which is what you love to do. Which is what you know what to do. Which is what you were doing when I first met you. And then when I called you the first time, and now I'm coming to you again right where you're at. Friends, Jesus knows where you're at. Right where you're at. And he won't leave you there. You want to stay there? He'll let you, but he'll keep coming after you. You get to choose. So he says, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5 in Luke 5. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." He was a fisherman that night. He wasn't a catcherman that night, right? He didn't catch fish. And he's like, "Look, we've already done this." But at your word, I'll let down the nets. All right, Jesus. I don't know if he was saying, "I'll humor you." I don't know if he's saying, "I'll just give in." I don't know if he just said, like, "I believe you. I mean, I know you. You know me. This is not the first time we've met. All right, Jesus, I'll do what you say." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. I'd love to take a bunch of time to talk to you about how fishing works. I'd have to ask people for that or read about it because I don't know. My friend Bob has taught me the beginning of how to fly fish, and it's amazing and it's intricate, and I caught a lot of twigs that day. I had a bite or so, I'll tell you. But I mean, it was like there's a time of day that's best and a location and where the sun's at. For these guys, they wouldn't fish in the middle of the day. So fish go deep, but at night they're up because it's cooler. They come and get some food, and that's when they would go fish. But how much did these professional fishermen catch that night? Nothing. Sometimes what we know doesn't work, right? It just doesn't work. But we're willing to give it 50 million more chances. God comes and says, "Why don't you try this?" And we're like, "I've already done the Jesus thing." So they had a large number of fish when they did the Jesus way of fishing, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Wow. It's a little different way of doing life for them now. They had heard Jesus, they had followed Jesus at one point, and now he comes back to them, meets them on their own turf, shows them how to live on their own turf and how to even be successful on their own turf. And then they have to respond. Luke 5, verse 8. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men.'" I want to ask you this morning, friends, what's more surprising to you, Simon Peter's response or Jesus's? And why? We can participate on this part. I would love to hear from you. What surprises you that this great thing happens, Jesus means for it to happen, he not just allows it, he does this for them, and Peter doesn't go, "Woo, we're going to eat today. My family's going to be good. This is such a big catch. Jesus, thanks. Can you come fishing tomorrow?" He is broken. He's like, "Go away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm a mess." Does that shock you? Or does Jesus' response not like, "Come on, Peter. Do you remember? Get up." He's like, "Don't be afraid. Remember I told you before, I'm telling you again, you're going to be a fisher of men. Come on. There's more for your life than just this roller coaster. Walk with me. Let's go." What surprises you more, friends? God's grace, his kindness, his consistency, Or that a guy would look at God in his holiness and go, I am not worthy. That shocks you?
Yeah, that's definitely more shocking or surprising because God's character, Jesus' character, is love. But I think that when Peter sees all that he had done, he realizes that this man is holy and he's powerful and just felt like, oh man, who I really was.
And so he saw himself probably pretty accurately, right? But it's pretty shocking because God already knew and God is very consistent. I love that. Thank you, Aaron. Does anybody else agree with that? It's just shocking how he would just like fall on his face. He falls into Jesus' knees. Amen. Thanks, Amy. I mean, so hear that from Amy as well, and it's similar to what Aaron's saying. Like, as somebody who didn't know Jesus, that probably makes sense. Like, you are powerful. You're awesome. You know where the fish are at. Gosh, you're unreal. You freak me out. I mean, Isaiah had a response. I'm undone. He gets before the holiness of God, and it comes to his mind that I got no business being here. But I want to remind you that God is so gracious and he is so holy, but he comes to us and he's consistently doing that. And so both are shocking, but what shocks you? Does it shock you that Jesus wouldn't give him what he deserves, but instead gives him grace and goes, oh, look, man, don't sweat it. Don't be afraid. Just follow me and we're going to do great things. I'm not holding your past against you. Amen. It's very personal, right? I mean, I have some friends at this very moment that are in a really tough spot, and they want God to come through and fix things up, and I get it. And God might be super gracious in that way and fix things up. How are they going to respond to him? Because God doesn't always do what we'd hope, but Aaron brings up a great point. God blesses these failed fishermen with a catch. So much so that they had to call their friends and their nets were breaking.
But I don't think he even believed Jesus when he was saved. And yet Jesus still wanted him to be a fisherman of men.
Wow.
He didn't believe 100% like pretty much everybody.
Who does, right? But I think Carol brings up a really strong point, right? Peter sees God for who he is, Jesus and his boat. God's right there, and he's just like, go away. Not teach me, lead me, let me follow. He's just like, I can't handle this. I don't deserve this.
Right, but then Jesus lets him know that I do see you because it calls it fear right there.
Absolutely.
It looked like fear to everybody else, but Jesus knew what it was, and he called him and told him.
Immediately. That's good, Shane. That is strong. You got, go ahead.
I think Peter's response too strikes me as odd because it says that all his companions were astonished. Everybody else was reacting to it too. He's the only one that knew he was knowledgeable.
Yeah, he's like the spokesman, right? He tends to be the spokesman. He tends to just bleh. I really appreciate that. Yep.
And even in that repentance, Jesus didn't acknowledge the sinful man that Peter called himself. He gave him a new identity.
Amen. Come on, you guys. These are all equal. I mean, it'd be like asking me, you know, who's your favorite child? Now, some of my children think I have a favorite child or two or whatever. I'll let them debate that long after I'm gone. But I can't pick which one I think is more surprising. I think they're both amazing. If I had to, I'd be pressed. I'd say Jesus and his response. even though I know him and he's showed me so many times, gosh, he actually wants us. He loves us. As Chad just said, he wants to give us new identity. He doesn't want us to go back to our failure and our sin. He does want us to repent and to recognize him for who he is. And then get this, follow him. Not just like, wow, thanks, that was a moment. Did anybody get a picture of that? No, there's more to come, Jesus says. So I want to remind you that he doesn't want us to be afraid. He does want us to repent. He does want us to recognize him for who he is. And then he wants us to follow him. He says this to his people. At the end of his physical presence on the earth, he's died already for their sins, risen from the dead. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven till he comes back and fixes everything up. He gives us, them, this great commission. In Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Teach them to obey what I commanded you. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fact that God gives us something to give to other people. He doesn't just have you go through what you go through, or me go through, I go through just for me. It's actually for others and to help others and to help them know how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How are people going to know about Jesus unless they hear about Jesus? And how are they going to hear unless somebody's sent? Well, you're being sent. He didn't give you what he gave you. He didn't give you grace and kindness and consistency and righteousness. He didn't do all of those things just so you would keep it to yourself. Just so you would sit there and go, "I'm undone. I'm a mess." Yes, you are, but that's not what I look at. I look at this opportunity for you to have life and be new. All of us. Whether you've been to prison, whether you've never been to prison, you never broke a law. You take care of your yard, you pay your taxes, everything's great, your neighbors like you. Or you don't even want to begin to talk about the things that you've done. Jesus knows where you're at, and I believe if you hear with ears to hear, you're hearing this morning that he's saying, "I love you. I want you." So, church, I ask you, what's your response to Jesus? Are you standoffish? Do you complain? Do you doubt him? Are you all in? Are you repenting? Are you receiving? Are you following Jesus? Do you need to come back to him? How do you follow him? Sometimes when you feel like it, most of the time, I'm still thinking about it, I fully follow him. Are you willing to leave what you used to know and think, your perspective, and follow him? I'll go back to Luke 5:11 really quick. Thank you so much. And when they brought their boats to land, because they couldn't stay out there, they left everything and they followed him. Like, that's constantly been for me. Like, am I supposed to quit my job? I mean, I'm really feeling moved and motivated. Am I supposed to divorce the person that I'm married to because they don't follow Jesus? Now I lay me down to sleep. I give the Lord my soul to keep. God, what am I supposed to do? He's God. Follow him. Know him. Please stop putting him off. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. You don't have to be offensive. Follow Jesus. What about if I offend him? What if I put him off? I don't even think we have to what if that. I think we know that. often I've wondered, and then I've heard people wonder out loud, and then they've asked me, and I just somehow, God has blessed me in life to be able to help people find answers in life. And I will always point them to Jesus, and boy, does that get frustrating. We're like barely able to have a baseball team, and one of the guys doesn't want to play because I'm too much about Jesus. Hold on, now wait. A pastor is about Jesus? And you hired him to coach? Hey, who's that on? You know what I mean? But I mean, legitimately, I start thinking like, ooh, how have I gone about this? What do I need to do? So I need to be a little softer, gentler. I need to, because I don't like it when people say Jesus' name in vain. I mean, I just ask people, please stop. I mean, if you said, Kathy, damn it, and all, I mean, if they would say stuff like that, I'd be like, oh, that's my wife. And with deep respect to how amazing she was made by Jesus. Jesus gets top billing. But I'm seriously considering, like, do I just go tomorrow when practice starts and go, look, I know in the past I said, you're going to do your thing, just please don't do it around me. Oh, gosh, probably not. But all that is to bring me back to this point. What are you being called to leave to follow Jesus? It's probably not your job. It's probably not your marriage. I don't think that he would be calling that. We're about to talk about abuse and all that on March 23rd. I'm not saying stay in an abusive relationship. But I think a lot of times we're ready just to jump ship on a whole lot of things, but we don't jump to Jesus. We just jump away from what's uncomfortable. Jump to Jesus and have your leaving everything, leave your perspective that I'm going to do things my way according to what's comfortable, what's easy, or what's financially viable. I'm going to do me. No, follow Jesus. Friends, we have so many people that call this place home. And I don't sit there and go, I got to. The biggest church in Sultan. Just let it sink in. I'm overwhelmed. Jesus and Jesus alone runs this church. I will run it into the ground. I haven't even tried to, and I've been close. But Jesus won't. He's faithful. He keeps consistently coming after us, kindly, gently, righteously. He's perfect and he's holy. So church, I need to let you go. I need to let you also go with this. I want us to follow the Great Commission. I want us to be better at it. Part of why I went to New Jersey wasn't to get the fresh kicks. It was to get a fresh perspective. And I've been getting it over and over again for probably about 5 years. I don't know all of what is going to change. Nothing major, massive. But starting sometime soon, April, maybe May, we're going to have a training center for people who want to live out the Great Commission, who want to follow in a way that they have always known they needed to. Everybody gets to follow Jesus, and you don't have to come to the training center for that. What I'm saying, though, is that we're going to be intentional about it. We're going to be looking at how to make disciples that make disciples. Some of you are able to do that. You're in groups where you're reading the Bible, and you're applying it, and you're holding each other accountable, and you're encouraging each other. I don't want you to change that. But for some of you, you're just kind of sitting in the boat watching everything happen. And you're tired of it, but you don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to offer some stuff. I offer it to you right now. Who in here has a Bible? Just legitimately, either on your phone or you own a Bible. Okay, anybody who's not raising their hand, pick one up because it's right around you. It's yours. Now you have the opportunity to go and learn how to follow Jesus, read his word, read it together, pray together, be intentional about it. Come here, you bet. But this isn't all there is. Start a group. Start accountability. Start praying, for goodness sake, to the one who saves us. And pray for people to be raised up to go out. He says, teach them what I've taught you. Well, I just don't know much. Baby, learn. It's okay. God didn't give you the brain to keep you from using it. He didn't give you your heart to wall it off. Trust him. Get into a group. Come to a men's breakfast. Come to the women's retreat. But don't just wait for other people to pour it into you. We ought to repent and follow Jesus. Next week, we go through Luke 15, 12 through 26. A leper gets healed. A dude gets his sins forgiven. And then he gets healed of a physical ailment, of being paralyzed. You guys, these next few weeks, I'm just going to keep pounding it home. We are being talked to by God. Not when Aaron's here, but all the time. He comes to where we're at. Jesus, I thank you for that, and I praise you for the opportunity for us to hear from you. I praise you, God, the ears to hear and eyes to see from you. So I pray right now in your wonderful name, Jesus, that our eyes and ears would be open and our lives would be transformed. We would change directions as you call us to. We would follow you as you call us to. We would fix our eyes on you as you call us to. God, I thank you for being so good and giving us new identity. I mean, we see that in Jesus. It's not just a prayer. It's not just, well, isn't God lucky? I'm going to follow him. But no, Lord, that we would follow you even when it's uncomfortable, even when we leave behind things that are near and dear to us, but they're not what's right for us. God, only you, Holy Spirit, can counsel us in that. Only you can lead us in that, and it's your word. And I do pray that those who know would help those who are trying to figure it out, and those who know would also be helped by those who are trying to figure it out, because that's how you work it. May we make disciples that make disciples. Not a program, your word and reliance on you and prayer to you and listening to you. God, give us a passion and a hunger for that. You tell us in Matthew 5 that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. Fill us up. Consume us with your fire. Burn away all the nastiness that will get in the way. And may we see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not just for Sundays, okay? This is all days. God bless you. Love you. Jesus loves you.